Thank you, Lord. Move today, I pray. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to Mark 1:29. This is part two. We started last week, and I'm just going to read this section through here. I invite you to read with me, or it will be on the screen as well. As soon as they left the synagogue, this is Jesus and his disciples, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. Fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. As I was preparing last week for the message that we talked about, which was lives of response, all of a sudden to write things that were part of a different message, and that was that our lives are lives of response, and part of that response is service. And so I had to almost stop last week and go back to where God had originally directed me and put this on to this week. And so I'm really excited. Now, if you remember last week, we talked about a number of different things that really God initiates with us. And once he captures our heart, then our lives become lives of response, where we respond to him, where we listen to God's Spirit as he directs. And we mentioned this catchy thing with letters WWJD, how that's beautiful. What would Jesus do? Absolutely. But a more accurate and more important thing for us would be W... Do you remember? With SS. Now, here's the thing. Last week, I did W-I-H. I left the T out. And it became confusing, but it caught for a bunch of people. And they said, hey, Joel, you missed the T. And if you put the T in, it'll be with SS, and then we'll be able to remember it better. Now, this is all part of a master teaching strategy to help cement this into our experience. Now, with SS, what is the Holy Spirit saying? With SS. If we move in every moment asking that question, God is going to lead us. He's going to direct us. He's going to steer us into these places of rich renewal and encounter. With SS. What is the Holy Spirit saying? Now, today we're talking about service. We're talking, we could title it grace-based service. We could title it Spirit-empowered service, but the essential component here is that service is about selflessness. Service is about selflessness. Now, one of the things that I realized early on in my marriage, and I've mentioned this in various forms at other times, is that I am by nature a selfish person, and I'm confessing that before you right now, right? We have all of these beautiful dreams, these beautiful images of what marriage is going to be like. We set it, we dream, we long for it, and we arrive at it and go all of a sudden, wait a second, you're not meeting my needs, right? I remember on our honeymoon, we were on our way to Hawaii. We had flown from Vancouver to, I think it was San Jose, somewhere in California, and we were on a bit of a layover there, and we were waiting. And I thought to myself, okay, well, I've done all this reading now. I'm pretty much an expert on how to take care of my wife. I know exactly what she needs. And so my wife is going to want some words of affirmation and some time with me, all those love languages, right? We've read those. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to serve my wife now. And we're sitting there in the airport, and she's reading her newspaper. And then I start to try and pull the newspaper away. I want to serve you. I want to take care of you. I want to look after you. I want to do all these things. And all of a sudden, I started to get frustrated. Right? And I started to get more and more frustrated. And she didn't want to put her newspaper away. And all of a sudden, it wasn't about me serving her. It was that I couldn't serve her the way that I wanted. And it was about me, wasn't it? Rather than going and saying, "Hey, babe, what do you need? What do you want?" Where she could have said, she might have said, "I just want a little peace and quiet. Okay, I just want to sit down and read my newspaper. And you would serve me by just being quiet and leaving me alone." Which is great. That's okay. I tried to force myself and became frustrated because my service was conditional. It was based on what I wanted to do, and it was based on what I wanted to get out of it. In a sense, I was a bit of a Pharisee in my marriage, in that my service and my love to varying degrees were conditional. And I was trying to earn various things. Does that make sense? Here's the thing, church. When we take that attitude of entitlement, when we carry that attitude of entitlement in our relationships with one another, when we carry that attitude of entitlement into our relationship with God, it counters and negates everything that we're doing. Entitlement counters, it contradicts, and it ultimately cancels service. Entitlement counters, contradicts, and ultimately cancels service. Here's the thing. Outward service is good, but it's not transformative. Outward service is good, but it's not transformative. And it'd be one thing to stand up here and say, "Okay, everybody, let's go pick up your bootstraps. Let's dig in here. Let's press forward." And those messages are really fun as a leader to give, to get everybody behind something, to rally them so that we can take up a cause and move forward. And as I was praying, I wanted to do that, but God said, "Joel, this is about your heart. This is about my people's hearts. I care about their hearts." God looks at us and he goes, "I love you. I want you to know it in your heart." Heart first. Sermon on the Mount is all about the heart, isn't it? If you read through the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5 to 7, it has all these strange things. Like if you sin, you should gouge your eye out or cut your hand off or do things like that. And clearly Jesus is not advocating that kind of self-punishment. What he's saying is that this is about your heart. Proverbs talks about guarding your heart because it is the wellspring of life. That doesn't mean erecting barriers and not letting anything into it. It means being careful at what you dwell on, at what is happening inside of your heart. It means not allowing that well to become poisoned, not allowing salt into that well. You don't want a salty heart, right? See, service starts in your heart. It starts with surrender. And ultimately, this movement from selfish to selfless is about lordship. Who is your Lord, or what is your Lord? See, if I'm honest, if I look back at that story of my trying to serve my wife, I was my Lord. I was trying to serve myself. I was trying through my own way, my own agenda. In Matthew 20, a mom comes up and says, "Jesus, You're the Messiah. You are doing amazing things. Can my boys come and sit beside you? Can they have the special of special places?" right? And then the disciples, the other disciples, the 10 other ones hear what this mom had done about James and John, and they get upset. Matthew 20, 24, when the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. And the brothers are going, it wasn't our idea. It was mom. Remember when we started out how old these disciples were? They're young dudes. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Our Lord Jesus, the one we sing to, the one through whom his work gave us access and made us right before the holy heavenly Father, our Lord came to serve. He modeled this service. And see, our story here in Mark, Jesus moves into this home and he says, okay, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? How? And he heals this woman, and the instant response is into service. Now, I don't want you to be distracted by any cultural things. I don't want you to be distracted by, well, she's a woman and all of a sudden she's put into this place, this lowly place, a servant. Don't be distracted by that. What did Jesus do? He came to be a servant. This is for every single one of us here. Now, this is going to speak, this needs to speak to all of us. Because there are some of us here, and I've been one at times, who serve, and we serve with everything we are, and we keep serving, and then we start to notice other people not serving, and we keep serving, and then we see other people not serving, and then all of a sudden our own agenda gets mixed in there, and then we start to go, okay, well, I'm doing all this work, and I'm going to keep, but what about them? Or I'm doing all this work and it still looks like a, what was the terminology you used for British summer? Drizzle. But it was a phrase. Oh, there's something you said about because it's rainy and it's always rainy and always will be rainy. Something like that. And we start to grumble, don't we? We start to have these little murmurs, these little frustrations. These, I'm doing all of this work, and I've done this, and I've done that, and I've served here, and I've sought this, and all of a sudden the murmur starts to happen, right? Sometimes it's in general, sometimes it's specific to something. That song that we actually sang had murmuring and strange things that happened around it as all of a sudden the music became the thing that was worshipped rather than the creator itself. And Matt Redman and his church took time and they paused and they waited on the Lord and they pulled back and they came with this beautiful, rich, I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. It's all about you. Our service sometimes becomes its own strange place that we seek affirmation from, or other people, or where it's all wrong. The only one that we can seek, the only place in our worth, our identity, our value is in God, the Most High. See, when we grumble, really we've got a bit of a pride issue. And it's not a foreign thing for God's people. And I just did a little bit of reading, and in Exodus and Numbers, there's 14 really specific times where the people complain and they grumble and they whine. And I'm not going to go through all of them, but they complained to Moses that because of him and his talk of a promised land, Pharaoh made things worse. So here they are grumbling, God, get us out of here. We're slaves. We hate being slaves. Okay, I'm going to send Moses. Well, Moses, you're making things worse. Stop it. And then they say to him, just Moses, stop it. Leave us alone. Moses finds water for them, but what do they? The water's too bitter, Moses. We're thirsty. All this grumbling. Martha grumbled. Ever heard of Mary and Martha? Luke 10. Luke 10, starting in 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. It was nice of Martha. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, there's so many beautiful and rich things for us to take note of here. Two of the stories that come right before this are action stories. Right, Jesus grabs all the people that are following him, the 72 people, and he sends them out. And they go out and do the same things. They heal. They release people from demonic activity. They bring restoration. They bring the kingdom into those places. It's this action. It's go and do this. Right? Then he tells a story about the Good Samaritan. Who's my neighbor? Well, it's the guy that's actually doing the work and that's loving you and that's caring for you. And so we arrive at this place and we think, oh yeah, here it comes. Mary's going to get it because Jesus has just sent his disciples and made the example of what the doing is. And what happens? Martha gets a double tap name. Now, if you're familiar with that terminology, double tap, if you've played any first-person shooter games or you've watched any Navy SEALs movies or anything like that, it's a combat move where you squeeze the trigger twice, tap, tap. And so SEAL teams rescuing hostages, they go after the bad guys, they give a double tap to make sure that it's a heart shot. Now, clearly, Jesus is not seeking to kill with the heart shot, but what he's trying to do and what he's communicating is he's penetrating right to the very core. Martha, Martha. Who else got the double tap in Scripture? Who else got the reminder of their identity shouldn't be in themselves or this world, but in God? Abraham, Abraham. Jacob, Jacob, Moses, Moses, Samuel, Samuel, Simon, Simon, Saul, Saul. Jesus isn't concerned about the stillness or Mary's rest. He is concerned about Martha's heart. And I believe that Jesus is looking at us right now and saying, crossroads, crossroads. Step into your true identity in me. In these short verses, we hear about about Martha's attitude. She's distracted, which means that she's pulled in so many different directions, here and there and everywhere. Anybody distracted these days? She's worried. Right? She's got the Messiah in her house. She's got the man who's performing all these miracles. She's got to make sure the house is clean. She's got to make sure the table's set. She's got to make sure she's got the dates from Levi down the road. I just made that up. She's worried. And all of that causes her to be upset. Why? Because her heart was not in the right place. And what does Jesus say? But few things are needed, or indeed only one. Only one. Jesus. Jesus is all that we need. And when Jesus left, he sent his Spirit to be with us, to reside in us, to guide us, to empower us, to gift us, to lead us. Amen. Right? See, authentic service, true service, comes down to a lordship issue, and it's about surrendering all areas in our lives. So there's this rich young guy who thought he had it all together. And sometimes these guys that have it all together, sometimes they're really arrogant and really difficult to be around. They're much like a know-it-all. Sometimes they're actually legitimately trying to do good things. I don't know which one this guy was. It doesn't say that in Scripture. But in Matthew 19, this guy comes up and says, what do I have to do to get into heaven? And Jesus says, all these, let's keep all the commandments. Do this, do this, do this, do this. Oh, yes, I'm set. I'm okay. I've done pretty well in those things. He actually says, I've done all those. So maybe he is a bit of a know-it-all. And remember, he's this rich young guy, right? What does Jesus say? He says, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Why was he sad? Because his money was his Lord. Jesus didn't say anything about it being wrong for him to have money. He didn't even say, go sell it and don't make any more money ever again. The Holy Spirit gave him a word that said, hey, this guy's all about money. That's where the heart is. That's where the double tap has to go. And the guy goes, oh, I can't give that up. The young man heard this, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. He wasn't willing to serve with his money. Now, here's a reality check for us as a church. We started this year, and we started with a giving challenge. And I'm gonna have to use my notes here. Actually, Pete, can I get you to come up here for a sec? Yeah. I just need your help. Now let's as Pete comes up here, let's just give Pete a little affirmation for all that he's done. I'm just going to grab a mic here. Now, Pete selflessly serves, and I actually mean that. We've got, so at the same time that I'm preaching and teaching this, there are so many of us here that are doing these works. We are serving, we are engaged, and so it's not all condemnation. Actually, none of it's condemnation. And before I, can I go just a little more? There's two different things. Okay? There's conviction that leads to entrapment, that leads to lies, that leads to bondage. That's the work of the enemy. Okay? There's conviction that leads to freedom. That means that God says, hey, money's an issue for you. You need to give, or you did this thing to this person, or you grumbled to this person or about this. You need to confess it. And then you need to release it. So there's two different conviction. One leads to slavery. One leads to freedom. Okay? So if you are walking away from any part of this today, and this is important, if you are walking away from any of this and going, I feel convicted and I'm just trapped, that's a lie. And there's freedom for you. Okay? Don't embrace the lie. Now, Pete has been so helpful with our bookkeeping and keeping us all on the same page and giving us a clear indication of what's happening. So help us understand. Last year we did the giving challenge, and what happened? You got to use the mic.
Last year, with the giving challenge, the giving went up dramatically. I don't have the numbers in my head.
Okay. I've got the graph. Wait for us. This is us on the fly here, church. Here we go.
Okay, well, last year in the 90-day challenge, our giving went up, and it was $74,575.
Awesome. Year, okay, so now just hang on. That was last year, right? Yeah, that's exciting. Let's celebrate last year. We can celebrate that. Yeah. That's good. All right.
So this year, overall, our giving is up from the previous year, but in the 90-day challenge, our giving was 51,984.
Okay. So that's a difference of about $23,000 in our giving. Okay. Now, so you said our giving's up. Help us understand our giving is up, and throw that mic a little closer to your mouth. Our giving's up, but our giving challenge is down. How does that work?
Our giving is up from 2016.
Yeah.
But our giving was up more last year.
Okay.
So, as I said on here, if we continue at the same rate, we're going to have about a $10,000 or $11,000 shortfall.
Okay.
So, at the end of the year.
Now, part of this was a bit of a trick is too strong a word. It's the wrong word. But we do this volunteer appreciation where we recognize people that are serving in our church. And Pete, you have been serving selflessly and really significantly. And so we just want to say thank you. Let's bless Pete. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pete. Really appreciate you. Thank you. Now, here's a bit of a reality check for us. Okay, the reality check is our giving, as far as the challenge part, is down. Now, I have no idea who gives what and who's given what. Honestly, that's between you and Jesus. I actually don't care about your money. I care about your heart. God cares about your heart. And God's going to move. God's going to accomplish regardless. This, again, church, like we said at the very beginning, is a heart issue. So is there conviction leading to freedom here in the area of finance? Is God calling you to serve in that area? Maybe. Nobody likes to talk about giving, do they? except when you get to a place of real freedom and you start to give beyond what you can give, and all of a sudden you start to experience the true blessing of Jesus. It's all His. It's all His. So where is God speaking and calling you to serve? Where is it? There's this reality that as we engage in serving, it feels amazing. When we take our entitlement out of the equation and we begin to serve with freedom, that is, we serve without expectation, it feels amazing. It's freeing. It is life-giving. I'm going to invite Kelly Lavery, if you can come up here, Kelly. This is a great Sunday, hey? Lots of different faces up here. Let's welcome Kelly. Kelly, thank you so much. I'm going to give you this and hold it close so that we can hear you. Awesome. All right, so Kelly, just give us a little bit of a glimpse of where you guys, where your family was 4 or 5 years ago before you came to Crossroads. Tell us a little bit about your story.
Interestingly enough, God woke me up at 2 o'clock this morning to remind me about my story. And what He clearly said to me was how distracted I was until about 5 years ago. So John and I came to Christ and we were baptized in about 1999. And then things blew up. Health issues got in our way, and that was our excuse. And then we fell away from the church, for sure. And even the kids, we would put them in Bible camps in the summer, and my daughter would say, "Hey, Mom, let's go to church on Sunday," because they encouraged that after a week, and we'd go to church that Sunday, and then she'd say, "Hey, Mom, can we keep going to church?" And I told her, "We're too busy, or we're too tired on Sundays because of where we're at." So about 5 years ago, a new health issue hit the family, and we had been working through the other health issues and getting through them. And actually somebody asked me, because they were asking about my health issues and they had to go through a history, and I said, "That's okay, I can handle it." And they said, "Well, I'm concerned about that statement right there." And that didn't make sense to me, because I felt very strong that I handled everything. I could do it. But it was breaking me. And I think that's exactly what you told me, is what you saw when you met me. I was very broken. And a friend of ours, well, actually, step back, the health issue was in our, it wasn't my husband or myself, it was somebody that was more important to us. And our son said, "Can we go to church?" And he was scared for his life, and we were scared for his life. And we said, "Yes, we will go to church. We will do anything for you." And so we started going back to our previous church, Bethel, and we were there. And then my friend Linda and I, we used to go to church together in Madeira Park, and Linda said, "Hey, I'm going to this church, Crossroads," and she was talking about youth group, and I really wanted my children to find some children they could connect with. So we came, and God spoke to us here, and not that He doesn't speak to people at Bethel, but we came and we just started saying yes to everything. We knew that we had to be involved.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Now we just pray blessing. We pray God's movement on Bethel Church. Amen. And
Amen.
The other churches on the coast. Thanks for reiterating that. That's good. So you came and you started to say yes to everything. Tell me about your awareness of that shift of God inviting you to experience Him as God, away from yourselves mm-hmm. as God. Does that make sense?
Definitely having God to share our journey with, is that it wasn't that I can handle it. It was, I had to start giving pieces of it over to God, and it's been a journey. It's been the 5-year journey where I've been reluctant to give over, but I would serve. If there was a bike wash, I'll be there. If you need baking for the soccer camp, I will do that. It was anything that was offered, where can my husband and I help out? Let us help out. And we were getting pieces. We were getting friendship and comfort and prayer. We were just finding bits of release. And somewhere over this last year, it was just God asked me to give that carrying of the weight and the burden of everyone's health to Him. And I did. And I don't have to handle it. God handles it for me. Yeah. I prayed all night for my husband, who's not here today, but, you know, he showed me last night, and then it was there in the song that He has moved mountains, and I can trust that He's going to keep moving those mountains.
That's right.
And I will just keep giving myself to Him.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, let's celebrate that. Yeah. So there is an outward transformation that's happened as a result of the inner transformation, is what I hear you saying, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Now, when you started, first it was just in a volunteer capacity, right? Mm-hmm. Carol Spichka was our office administrator, and you started serving with...
I was supporting her.
Supporting her, yeah. And doing some Facebook things.
Yeah, yeah. Social media.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And then we were praying in the office, and God brought your name to mind. And so we were talking to a number of different people at that time, but I said, hey, I just want to throw this out there. And then what was happening at that point? What was your process like?
So another yes was I joined a ladies' Bible study, and I had told myself, for many years, you know, I can't commit because of my own health issues. I would just be letting people down. But a friend said, let's do this. So I said, yes. Carol was in it. Carol said, confidentially, I'm going to tell you that I've already given notice, and we're looking for someone to do the administration at Crossroads. And a thought crossed my mind, should I do that? And automatically I said, no, no, you don't have the health to do that. You can't commit. You can just stick to, you know, I was homeschooling and helping where I could with our business. I said no. And then Linda, who was hosting the group, said, hey, have you thought about that job? I said, no. I did. Funny you should ask. But the answer is no. And then Joel said, we should pray about this. I said, are you serious? And so we prayed. And I said yes. And I said to Joel, I said, I don't know that my health can let me do this job. And Joel said, that's okay. Let's trust God here. And God's helped me to be at work and to be full and to be able to serve.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You hit it exactly right. Right? God is at work. He is doing a work. He is healing. Mm-hmm. He's bringing you into health, I believe, as we speak, right? As we move forward. And so this past week was Office Administrators Day on Wednesday. Now, I thought I had put that day in my calendar last year, and we got to the end of Wednesday, and it wasn't in my calendar. Did you take it out? You didn't take it out.
No,
did
you? I honestly didn't know about it either.
That's why you need an office, because I'm not the schedule guy. But we got there and I went, okay, Sunday. And then all of a sudden, God put all these pieces together to have you come and share about this transformation of service. And so we've just got a small gift of flowers and a card and a dinner for you and John. Oh. And we just want to say bless you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly.
Can I give you a hug?
Yeah, yeah. Peace. Yeah. Yes. Beautiful. What I want you to notice is service in action? Is transformation in action? Is God calling and equipping as we listen and trust Him to take these steps? It was beyond where Kelly thought she could do. Right? Doing this role was beyond what she thought she could do. But God spoke to her. God confirmed it in a number of different areas. And she's this walking testimony. And so let that increase your faith as far as what God can and what He wants to accomplish in you as individuals and in us as a church. I'm going to invite our worship team up. Worship team, can we do that, the new song again? Is that cool? Beautiful. And I'm going to put a couple of ideas here. If you want to be free, if you want true freedom, don't try and be the master, be a humble servant. Don't try and be the master, be a humble servant. Lose the grumbling. Lose the entitlement. Release it and be free from it. Confess it. If you're a Martha, forgive the Marys. If you're a Mary, forgive the Marthas. If you're someone who has more, forgive someone who has less. If you're someone who has less, forgive those who have more. Bless that little baby. Speak healing. Jesus' name. Move into a place of freedom and service. How do we do that? We start by saying, Jesus, my life is yours. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? And then we listen. And then when He talks, we do it. Then we move into those other spheres, to our family, and we engage our family, and we say, hey, what do you need? How can I serve you? Without expectation or entitlement, how can I serve you? And then you move into your community and your church, and you say, church or community, what do you need? How can I serve you? If every single person here shifted into that role, we would change the world. We would change the world. So I'm going to invite you to stand. So Father, we stand before you as your church, as your people, as your community. And we hear your call, Lord. We hear your call to be servants, to follow in the way that you have done life, the way that you've ministered, the way that you have moved. And so we speak hope, we speak life, we speak movement, we speak freedom. You can move mountains. You have moved mountains. You will move mountains, Lord. Let us be part of it. Show us where to engage. Show us where to let go. Show us how to move. In Jesus' name, amen.